My text is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. For me to live is Christ. Philippians 1, 21. The words of Paul when he's in prison. And this is what he says to the Philippians. For me to live is Christ. Now let me just say how it is I'm coming to preach on this, or try to say a few words on this important, significant text. It's not because I've attained to it. I feel I am rebuked by this text, challenged by this text. It is more than I can claim or come up to. I want to reach to it, but I'm preaching this as a rebuke to myself and to encourage my soul to enjoy and know what Paul meant here when he said, for me to live is Christ. And of course, as I'm speaking to myself, I want to speak to fellow believers too and encourage them. And maybe you will feel, brothers and sisters, that there is a measure of rebuke in this for you. After all, the word of God is given to us to rebuke, reprove, correction and all the rest. So may God speak to us through this word. It is a challenging word. And I say again, it's not because I've attained to it and I'm looking down from on high and saying, now this is what I need you to do. No, I'm in this with you, my friend. I've also got a word here for unbelievers, because what I say will show them the necessity and the way of salvation. So, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, the words of Paul, for me to live is Christ. Now, I think I'm writing saying, I can seem to remember reading this somewhere or hearing it, that Martin Lloyd-Jones was once asked about preaching, and somebody must have said something like, you live for preaching. And he said, no, he didn't live for preaching. And that's a very strange thing to say, but it fits in with what he said. I understand that he did say to a group of preachers, ministers one day, in the common use of that word, ministers, what will you do, he said, what will you do when you can no longer preach? What will you do? I find that a very searching question. And you can expand it. What will you do when you can no longer write, when you can no longer do this and that and the other? What will you do then? How will you live? Will you live for preaching? No, says Martin Lloyd-Jones, so I understand. Now, that's a very searching, probing question and thought. What will you do when you can no longer preach, when you can no longer be active, even active for Christ? Now, what will you do? Is a very searching question. And it's in that manner, that background, as it were, that I approach this text here, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. Now, what does Paul mean by this? What is he saying? Is he speaking in terms of doctrine? As it were, fact. Now, of course, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he is speaking about doctrine, fact. What would you mean? Well, for the apostle, for every believer can say this. For me to live is Christ. If Christ had not come into the world, been incarnate, become a man, then I would have no salvation. There'd be no hope for me. If Christ had not become a man and lived amongst men, lived amongst sinners, but lived a perfect life under the law of God, under the old covenant, he was made under the law. And if he had not come under the law and lived that perfect life for sinners, then there'd be no salvation for me. For me to live is Christ. For me to be saved is essential to know Christ. Christ is all in this respect. If Christ had not gone to the cross and offered up his perfect life as a sacrifice for the sins of his people, if he had not suffered the wrath of God for them, if he had not propitiated that wrath, bearing that wrath, and shedding his blood to wash his people from their sins, if he had not atoned for them, redeemed them by his precious blood, by his life offered up, then there would be no salvation for me, says Paul. To live is Christ. Christ is all to me in this respect. The doctrine of his salvation, the doctrine of his incarnation, his life, his sacrifice, his death, his burial, his resurrection. He was raised again for our justification. If Christ was not raised from the dead, then there'd be no salvation for me. For me to live, for me to be saved, for me to know any experience of everlasting life, it must be Christ. Christ is all. And if he had not ascended back to the Father in glory and been vindicated and set in the highest heavens with all power given unto him at the right hand of God, then there'd be no salvation for me. If he does not live for me now, if he's not interceding for me now, if one day he will not come back for me and raise me from the dead, I am of all men most miserable because I have no salvation. The fact of Christ's life and death and resurrection and ascension and his intercession for his people now and his coming again for us to receive us to himself, if it was not for that, there would be no hope, no salvation. For me to live is Christ. So is Paul saying that it is the fact, the doctrine of this great salvation, this person of Christ, his life and death and so on and resurrection and his coming again and all the rest, is it the fact, the doctrine? Is this what Paul is saying? For me to live is Christ. Now, I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's including this. I am come, says Christ, John 10, verse 10, I am come to bring life for my people and to give them life and life more abundantly. Yes, of course, the fact of it, and this is an essential part of this text, the fact of Christ coming and living and dying for me is my life. And I want to know that. I want to understand that. I want to preach that. Indeed, I want to preach it now. An unbeliever, I said, I'd have a word for you. Here is the word for you. There is no salvation outside of Christ. John 14, verse 6, Acts 4, verse 12. There is salvation in no other. He is the way. I am the way, he said. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Christ is all. For me to live, for you to be saved, it is Christ. You must trust him, repent, believe. Here is the gospel. I'm not only asking you to understand this, but of course I am trying to explain it to you. I'm trying to preach it to you. I'm not only asking you to be persuaded of it, I'm asking you to trust. I'm inviting you, urging you, pressing you, pleading with you to trust the Savior and be saved. So you can say with Paul, for me, it's Christ. It's not my rites, it's not my ceremonies, it's not my church, it's not this, it's not that, it's not my prayers, it's not my religion, it's nothing. But Christ is all. I'm sure that that is a very important part of this text. For me to live is Christ. But no, that is not the full meaning of this passage. It doesn't exhaust these words. Let me give you the original Greek, as it were, the translation of it. In our version here, for me to live is Christ. Now, that's perfectly good, of course. But this is what Paul actually wrote. To me, for the to be living Christ, or rather the anointed, actually. Let me say that again. To me, for the to be living, the anointed, the Christ, Christ himself. Can you see how stark it is? For me to live is Christ, yes. But this is what he actually wrote. To me, for the to be living, the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. This is what he's saying in this text. And I think, well, I'm convinced, and this is the challenge to me, this is more than just talking about doctrine. This is talking about the experience, the feeling. I said fact. Well, it's fact. Of course it is, but it's also feeling. I said doctrine. Yes, it is the doctrine, but it is the experience, the daily, hourly, moment by moment, living experience of knowing Christ. Again, as I remind you, Lloyd Jones, you live for preaching. You're preaching. No. I don't. What will you do? What will you be? How will it be when you can no longer preach, when you can no longer write or be active for Christ? Now, let's be clear here. This is the challenge to me. This is the rebuke to me. Listen, for me to live, to me for to be living, Christ. Now, I know what it is to be able to say my service for Christ. And of course, it's wonderful to be able to serve Christ. It's a privilege to be able to serve Christ. Paul was determined to be able to preach Christ. Of course he was. But he didn't live for that. For me, he says, to me, for me, the to be living, the whole purpose, the whole meaning, the whole ethos, the whole sense of life, the essence of life, is Christ himself. I hope I'm conveying this to you. This is the rebuke to me. I can talk about my preaching. Yes. Paul could, even more than I could. And he could speak about it, and he could glory in it, and wonder in it, and be amazed at it, that he should be such a preacher of the gospel. Yes, but he didn't make that his end. He had a felt Christ. To me, for to be living Christ, the anointed one. What about writing? I do a bit of writing. And it's so easy to be praying about my writing and me thinking about my writing and trying to do more writing and improve at it and engage in discussion and argument and reason and trying to establish the gospel and correct error. All that is very wonderful, contending for the faith. Jude tells us to and so on. Yes, well, that is excellent. But Paul says it's deeper than that. It's fuller than that. He says, for the to be living Christ, preaching, writing. How about evangelism? How many can say, I live for evangelism. I'm eager about evangelism. I'm always trying to evangelize. Well, who can fault trying to spread the gospel, if that's what you mean? Of course. All our service for Christ, our activities for Christ, all this we can live for and we can make the goal and purpose and end and being of our life and our experience. But no, says the apostle, for me, for all my gospel preaching, for all trying to see sinners saved, for all of the things I write, my letters and so on, for all the discipline I carry out, for all the instructions I give, for all these things, yes. Nevertheless, for to be living is Christ himself. And there's no is there. For to be living, Christ the anointed one. Now, do I hear somebody say, well, yeah, this is very good, you know, that's very true. You see, but I'm a mother. I have two or three children, and I have to look after them, to feed them, and care for them, and clothe them, and clean the house and take them to their music lessons and look after their health and so on. And my husband needs caring for. And so, yes, I've got many responsibilities. I wish I could say this. My friend, my dear sister in Christ, if you're a believer here, my sister in Christ, yes, with all those responsibilities, you're missing the point. Paul was in prison. He was chained to Roman soldiers. People outside were abusing him. He was preoccupied here, he was taken up there, but he could still say, even in all his sufferings and trials, read the context of Philippians 1 and you'll see it, read the context. He could say, in all his sufferings and all his employments and all his whatever, he could still say, for me is Christ. Christ himself is, that's what I know, that's what I live for, that's what I'm working for. No, that's what I'm experiencing, the person and work and merit of Christ himself. Do I hear a believing man speaking to me? Oh, yes, that's very good. You know, my pastor, if you want to call him that, I mean, I'm sure he can say this. No, you're missing the point. But I have a job, I've got responsibilities, I've got children and my wife and so on, home and all the rest of it. Of course you've got preoccupations. But the believer, And this is what Paul is asserting here. His life itself is Christ himself. You see, you're missing the point. The pastor needs to live for Christ. No, he needs to know Christ and experience Christ, not merely live for him, not merely live to preach him, not merely live to administer and govern. I'm using the word pastor in the usual sense. I don't like the word, but I'll use it. You understand what I'm saying? This is the challenge to me. I said this was a rebuking word. Do I know Christ? Something must be known and felt, said Joseph Hart. Well, actually, someone must be known and felt. This is the greatest risk of misunderstanding this text. We can think of activities and service, and that's our knowing Christ. No, no, no. I live for my activities. No. It's Christ himself. That's the truth of it. Now, there are many, many, many hymns on this theme. Charles Wesley, Francis Ridley, Havergal, I don't know how many people have written on it. Let me just give you one or two so that you can see what I'm trying to say. I could not do without thee, O Saviour of the lost, whose precious blood redeemed me at such tremendous cost. Thy righteousness, thy pardon, thy precious blood must be my only hope and comfort, my glory and my plea. That's Frances Ridley Havergal. Yes, true, but I think she's concentrating there, if I read it right, she's concentrating on the first point, the fact of it, Christ living and dying for me. But I want to know him, and I want to experience this person of Christ. Here's Toplady, Augustus Toplady. Happiness, thou lovely name, where's thy seat, oh, tell me where? Learning, pleasure, wealth, and fame all cry out, it is not here. Not the wisdom of the wise can inform me where it lies, not the grandeur of the great can the bliss I seek create. Object of my first desire, Jesus crucified for me. All to happiness aspire, only to be found in thee. Thee to praise and thee to know, you are. Constitute our bliss below. Thee to see and thee to love, yes. Constitute our bliss above. Lord, it is not life to live if thy presence thou deny. Lord, if thou thy presence give, 'tis no longer death to die. Source and giver of repose, singly from thy smile it flows. Happiness complete is thine. Mine it is, if thou art mine. Yes, but I think one hymn writer gets to it better than all of them so far. I don't know any hymn writer who gets to it more closely than a verse in this hymn. I've chosen this hymn for my funeral. Immortal honors rest on Jesus' head, my God, my portion and my living bread. In him I live, upon him cast my care. He saves from death, destruction, and despair. He is my refuge in each deep distress, the Lord my strength and glorious righteousness. Through floods and flames he leads me safely on, and daily makes his sovereign goodness known. My every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. In him there dwells a treasure all divine, and matchless grace has made that treasure mine. But it's this verse. This is what punches it home to me. Oh, that my soul could love and praise him more. His beauteous trace, his majesty adore. Live near his heart. There you are, Gadsby's got it. It's William Gadsby, this hymn writer. Live near his heart, Christ's heart. Upon his bosom lean. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. That's what Gadsby is singing about. That's what Paul is saying here, I'm sure. Now, I started by saying how Martin Lloyd-Jones had sort of encouraged me to come to this position. But Actually, it was something much closer recently, some conversations I've had, and one particularly a friend of mine pointed me to Ian Hamilton's article, editorial, in the October 2020, the present month's edition of the Banner of Truth on the essential J.I. Packer. And Hamilton quoted something from James Packer, and I want to read it to you. "When Christians meet, they talk to each other about their Christian work and Christian interests, their Christian acquaintances, the state of the churches, and the problems of theology. But here's the sting, my friend, listen to it. But rarely of their daily experience of God, of Christ, I would say. Modern Christian books and magazines contain much about Christian doctrine, Christian standards, problems of Christian conduct, techniques of Christian service. Here's the sting, though. But little about the inner realities of fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ. Our sermons contain much sound doctrine. I hope that's true. I'm not so sure it is. But little, here's the sting, but little relating to the converse between the soul and the Saviour. We do not spend much time alone or together in dwelling on the wonder of the fact that God and sinners have communion at all. No, we just take that for granted and give our minds to other matters. Thus we make it plain that communion with God, communion with Christ, is a small thing to us." I really want to be delivered from that. That's the challenge I find. And I find it in Philippians 1:21. Here is Paul's assertion: "For me to live is Christ." But I note also that in chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 12 and on, Paul puts it down as an aspiration as well as an assertion. So it is a fact, but he wants to know it more. Oh, that he could know it. Listen to him. I find this very encouraging. He says this. Well, in verse 10 of chapter 3, "I want to know Christ." Here's a believer speaking. "I want to know Christ, enjoy Christ, have communion with Christ, the intimate union with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things." And so on and so on. "Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers." Well then, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope you feel like I do, that you want to follow the example of Paul. There's the assertion: "For me to live is Christ." There's the aspiration: "That I might know him, that I might press on to know him." Oh, that might, and Gatsby's expression of it, "Oh, that my soul could love him more, lean on his bosom, dwell there," and so on, "and know him, hear his voice. Oh, walk with Jesus. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I want to know this, that I might know and enjoy and feel Christ." And believer, if you're still listening, remember, without Christ you have nothing. Trust him, believe, rely upon him. But then join us and press on to know the full expression of it. I don't want to say any more, as Cowper had to say, and I have to say, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord, I met the Lord?" Oh, may I know that blessing now. May I press on. For me, may I be able to say, do you feel this, brother and sister? I hope you do. I hope you feel encouraged as well as rebuked. to be able to say, for me, to live is Christ. Yeah, to me, for to be the living Christ is all. May it be so. And may we live with him and for him and enjoy him and know him in this felt, experimental, experience way. May it be so. May it not just be facts in the head. May our hearts be warmed with Christ. May we walk with him and talk with him. And may we know him more and more, day by day, moment by moment. For Christ's sake. Amen.